Hey, Prime members, you can listen to The Lead ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
If you travel for work, you know to pack two suits, business and swim. You know with your Delta SkyMiles Business Amex card, buying that plane ticket for a business trip can get you closer to medallion status. You know that a meeting in Montana means visiting almost every national park.
Yellowstone? Check.
Because you're the chief excursion officer. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you-know-business.
Hey, everyone. I just wanted to point out that this episode that you're listening to right now is actually from our spinoff podcast, The Lead Starting Five. That is our daily 10-minute sports news show. That show has its own feed with new episodes publishing there every Monday through Friday. And we'll keep airing episodes here on The Lead's feed on Mondays just to introduce more people to that show. So go check it out and subscribe if you like it. All right, here's today's episode. The Ravens blow another big lead, this time against the Bills.
The Mets blow a big lead and lose three games to the Braves.
And a very unlikely name is creeping up the college football rankings. From Wondery, I'm Andres Kelso.
And I'm Tate Frazier. It's Monday, October 3rd, and this is Starting Five. Five sports headlines in 10 minutes.
All right, let's kick things off with what was arguably the most anticipated game of week four in the NFL, Tate. I'm talking, of course, about the AFC showdown between the Buffalo Bills and Baltimore Ravens. This was a test of two Super Bowl contenders and two MVP frontrunners in Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. So what were the takeaways from this game?
Well, this was an all-too-familiar sight for Ravens fans. They jumped out to a 20-3 lead late in the second quarter, thanks in part to some Buffalo turnovers. But then, as they did in that dramatic Week 2 loss to the Dolphins, where they gave up a 21-point lead in the fourth quarter, the Ravens squandered the lead here as well, and a critical moment happened with the game tied at 20-20 and just over 4 minutes left when the Ravens had a fourth and goal at the Bills' two-yard line. Ravens coach John Harbaugh decided to put the ball in Lamar Jackson's hands, pretty good idea, and go for a touchdown instead of a go-ahead field goal.
Ravens go for it on fourth and goal. Jackson fading. Jackson throws! Intercepted! The Bills have it. Jordan Poyer with the pick. Baltimore decides not to kick the field goal, and Buffalo takes over with just over 4 minutes to play.
Buffalo and Josh Allen then marched 77 yards to set up a 21-yard field goal as time expired to give the Bills the 23-20 win on the road. After the game, Harbaugh defended his decision to go for the touchdown.
Yard line, so I'm very confident in our defense. Defense's ability to stop them down there with the ball on the 2-yard line, so we got them backed up. If we don't get it, didn't turn out that way, unfortunately, and we lost the game. So hindsight, you could take the points. But if you look at it analytically, I understand why we did it.
Well, hindsight is always 20/20, but the Ravens are now 2-2. Meanwhile, the Bills are 3-1 and sitting atop the AFC East.
Speaking of the AFC and potential MVP candidates, we also saw some vintage Patrick Mahomes, if you can say vintage about a dude who's 27 years old, in a 41-31 win for the Chiefs over the Bucks on Sunday, Tate. This was a rematch of a little game called Super Bowl 55.
Yep.
At one point in this game, Mahomes spun to avoid a tackle as he approached the goal line and then tossed the softest little overhand flick pass into the end zone, prompting this reaction from Chris Collinsworth.
Stop it. You're not allowed to play football at this level and toy with the guys on the other team. He looks like the dad playing in the backyard with all the kids and they can't get him on the ground. Watch this.
Led by Mahomes, the Chiefs are now 3-1 and atop the AFC West.
Yeah, Anders, some of that Mahomes improv is otherworldly to say the least.
Absolutely. Some other notable results from the AFC. The Raiders finally got a win, beating the Broncos 32-23. And the Titans gave their divisional title repeat hopes a little bit of a boost, beating the Colts 24-17.
All right, let's move over to the NFC, where the Super Bowl hype train is officially in overdrive in Philadelphia. The Eagles are now the only undefeated team in the NFL after coming from behind to beat the Jaguars. And Anders, this game made us see a new side of the Eagles.
It really did. You know, through the first 3 weeks of the season, the Eagles have more or less cruised to victory. But in this game, they went down 14-0 early on a rainy afternoon in Philadelphia. And
They looked a bit disjointed early on, including this Jalen Hurts pick six.
Hurts faking the handoff, the pass batted into the air, and it's picked off. Intercepted by Cisco. Cisco still going inside the 20. Cisco is going to score. Pick six for Jacksonville.
But not long after that, the Eagles started clawing their way back into this one. Jalen Hurts showed that he can orchestrate a comeback, which was a bit of a question mark around him. Mm-hmm. And the Eagles had the lead back by halftime. And meanwhile, the Eagles' defense in this game, Tate, answered some big questions. Listen to this. Last season, the Eagles' D was second to last in the league in sacks. But after bringing in Hassan Reddick in the offseason, their pass rush has been completely transformed. They are now leading the NFL in sacks.
Wow.
And it was Reddick who sealed the victory on Sunday with this strip sack on Trevor Lawrence late in the game.
So Trevor Lawrence and company begin just outside the 20. Football is loose again, and the Eagles have recovered. Hassan Reddick doing it again for the Eagles.
Overall in this game, the Eagles D forced five turnovers, including four lost fumbles. So again, some important questions answered for the Eagles in this one, Tate.
Yeah, five turnovers is pretty good as far as I know, Anders. And sticking with NFC contenders, the Green Bay Packers moved to 3-1 with an overtime victory over the Patriots, and Aaron Rodgers reached a pretty big milestone in the process.
Yeah, on a day that was not the best performance by the Packers, Rodgers joined some very elite company by throwing the 500th touchdown of his career.
As Rodgers quickly gets rid of it, it's caught. It's a touchdown. Dobbs turns around to make the grab.
That toss made him just the fifth player in NFL history, along with Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Brett Favre, and Peyton Manning, to reach 500 touchdowns. And it was really Rodgers who dragged the Packers to victory in this one. He struggled early, but led two key late drives to pull out a 27-24 overtime victory over the very injury-depleted Patriots, who, Tate, had third-string rookie QB Bailey Zappe under center.
Yeah, I saw after the game, Rodgers said, we couldn't lose to the third-string quarterback, so he was right about that. And elsewhere in the NFC, the Cowboys beat the Commanders 25-10 to go to 3-1, with Dak Prescott now expected to return as early as next week. The Vikings beat the Saints to move to 3-1 in London and are now tied with the Packers in the NFC North. And the Lions once again put a ton of points on the board, but once again lost, this time to the Seahawks 48-45. And I'm sorry to say that news to you, Anders.
Confusing time for my fellow Lions fans, Tate. They're leading the NFL in scoring, averaging 35 points a game, and they are 1-3. They really got to figure out things on defense.
I don't get it.
Now to baseball, where a big series wrapped up on Sunday night in Atlanta. The Braves, who are vying for the NL East title and that critical first-round playoff bye, completed a three-game sweep of the Mets and now look likely to win the division.
Yeah, this has been a remarkable home stretch for the defending champion Braves. The Mets led this division by 10.5 games back in June, but since then, the Braves have been nipping at their heels, and now they hold a two-game lead over their rivals up north, with just three games left on each team's schedule. The Braves really showed their championship pedigree in the series, winning both games against the Mets' two aces, Jacob deGrom and Max Scherzer. That's a bit worrisome for Mets fans, given that pitching is supposed to be one of the big advantages they have over the Braves, and that, in case you checked your calendars, October is here. Sticking with the Braves, though, their 5-3 win on Sunday gave them their 100th win of the season. Their final three games are against the Marlins, while the Mets have three games against the Nationals.
Elsewhere in MLB, the Padres clinched a playoff spot on Sunday thanks to a Milwaukee Brewers loss. This will be just the second postseason appearance for the Padres since 2006, and they celebrated accordingly, Tate, spraying that clubhouse with sparkling wine and beer. Meanwhile, Albert Pujols added to his legend on Sunday in this rather magical moment.
Albert lifts it in the air out to center. Going back, Reynolds at the wall. He's done it! He's done it! His final regular season home game, number 702. He's tied the game. He's tied Babe Ruth all time in runs batted in.
As you heard there, Pujols is now tied with Babe Ruth for career RBIs and is now just 12 homers behind the Babe in career home runs.
Pretty good company. In the Premier League, the marquee matchup this weekend was happening in Manchester, with Man City hosting Man United, and what was billed as a potentially great game turned into a blowout, Anders.
It really did. Man City absolutely dominated this game from the get-go. They were up 4-0 by halftime.
Wow.
After this great link-up between the game's two stars, Erling Haaland
and Phil Foden.
Haaland on the march, aimed in for Foden for a first half rout. Foden 2, Haaland 2, United nothing at all.
Manchester United fans were literally leaving the stadium before halftime in this one. And the game eventually ended 6-3 with Haaland and Foden each scoring a hat trick.
Wow.
And, you know, Tay, we've talked a lot about Erling Haaland on the show, in particular his ridiculous scoring rate. He's on pace to shatter basically every scoring record in Premier League history. But Phil Foden has also become a star in his own right for Man City. And he and Haaland are also proving to be a rather unlikely duo. Haaland, you know, is this massive blonde striker who came from means and was basically groomed to be great from an early age. He's sort of like a Norwegian Ivan Drago. But meanwhile, Phil Foden is very small. He grew up in a working class part of Manchester, and his game is not about size and strength. It's just pure skill. And these two guys, who are both 22, by the way, they just seem to love each other. There are a lot of big guy, little guy hugs after goals. And after the game on Sunday, they were asked in a post-match interview which of the two hat-trick heroes would get to keep the game ball.
Now, can you just settle one thing for us? Who is going to take the match ball home?
I think we're going to get one each, no?
Yeah, I think we have to. One ball for the first half and one for the second half. You know?
Okay, well, we couldn't split prayer of the match either, so share that too, guys.
Here, Phil.
We'll call it an half.
Pleasure. Pleasure.
So, Tate, keep an eye on not one, but two 22-year-old superstars for Man City, Erling Haaland and Phil Foden, and their budding bromance.
Yeah, what's that old saying? Sometimes it takes two 22-year-olds to make a thing go right.
All right, let's wrap things up with some college football. After another wild weekend of games, there's a familiar name atop the AP rankings, Alabama, and a very unfamiliar name that has now crept into the top 20.
Yeah, that's right, Anders. Alabama lost their Heisman quarterback, Bryce Young, who went out with a sprained AC joint in the second quarter against a ranked Arkansas team. But the Tide beat the Razorbacks by 23 on the road, catapulting them to the top spot in the polls. They swapped spots with Georgia, who trailed by 13 points to unranked Missouri before a late touchdown saved their season. That's why the defending champs fell a spot, while the rest of the top six stayed the same. Keeping it in the SEC, Kentucky's undefeated season came to an end at the hands of Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss. And one of the feel-good stories from the weekend and the season at large is the Kansas Jayhawks, who remain undefeated after a 14-11 win over Iowa State. The Jayhawks are in the AP Top 25 for the first time since Week 8 of the 2009 season,
wow,
checking in at number 19. And get this, College Game Day has bailed on Alabama versus A&M, supposedly the best game of the season in the preseason, and instead are going to head to Lawrence for the first time in Kansas school history. The Jayhawks are hosting TCU, who happen to be ranked number 17 after blowing out Oklahoma.
Kansas State, now officially a football school.
Stamp it. All right, that's it for today. From Wondery, I'm Tate Frazier.
And I'm Anders Kelto. Thanks for listening. Hey, Prime members, you can listen to The Lead ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. And before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
If you travel for work, you know to pack two suits, business and swim. You know with your Delta SkyMiles Business Amex card, buying that plane ticket for a business trip can get you closer to medallion status. You know that a meeting in Montana means visiting almost every national park.
Yellowstone? Check.
Because you're the chief excursion officer. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you-know-business.